Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Brand Burrow podcast, where we dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly world of marketing, inspiring businesses to brand, engage, and connect with their target audience. The Brand Burrow is brought to you by the women-led marketing agency, Fox & Forth. Buckle up. You are in for a ride.
Welcome back to the Brand Burrow, everybody. It is a rainy Monday, and I don't know, yesterday was like a scorcher. It was hot out. I took my dogs to the dog park. So, you know, starting the week off with a rainy day is not ideal, but it is what it is. Right, Brittany?
Yep. By the way, that was Dana doing our intro.
Sorry, I forgot to introduce myself.
You should already know.
You should know this voice. All right. Okay. So, Brittany, what are we on about today?
Oh, we're going to talk about social media. I mean, like, when are we not talking about social media? But today we're going to talk about what a dopamine dispenser social media can be, the goods, the bads, the uglies. You know how, you know the content you get when you listen to our podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're here serving the goods when it comes to social media and stuff. And I don't know if y'all know about this, but Brittany and I are both kind of nerds when it comes to the psychology and stuff behind social media. So, you know, we're going to talk about what social media does to your brain. As a lot of people know, social media is a huge digital landscape and it kind of keeps our world connected. So whether you're into it to stay connected with your family members that live abroad, your colleagues, or you're searching for fleeting moments of entertainment, or maybe you're looking for a new life hack. I mean, guilty.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Countless hours on social media finding life hacks.
So, to round that out, social media is kind of something that is become ingrained in our everyday lives. We're constantly on it. You can't disconnect from it even when you want to. And, you know, it has its benefits. I mean, we just said one, you know, life hacks and stuff like that. Learning that you can, like, use baking soda and dish soap, like liquid dish soap, to clean the tile in your bathroom so it's, like, brand new sparkling.
Okay, well, look at me learning something from you, from something you learned on social media.
Yeah.
And we are coming into this podcast today literally 4 days after Threads has been launched on Instagram.
Yeah.
Are we bitter? Maybe.
we haven't decided yet, so
yeah.
we'll be remaining a little, you know, we're going to bite our tongues on that one.
Yeah. Check in 3 weeks. If you see bags underneath my eyes, then you know why.
Yeah. It's Threads. That's why. So anyway, to let you guys know, today we're talking about what social media does to your brain, how it affects buying decisions, and, you know, a few healthy ways to browse on social media, because you might think that your social media consumption is healthy, but let me tell you something, for most people, it's not.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should probably kick it off with the ugly stuff first, eh?
I think so. Okay. So, just through doing a little bit of basic research, I came across this study that the University of Pennsylvania did. So this study in particular focused on how social media causes loneliness and depression, and basically how it triggers that FOMO feeling. And in this study, there was one group of participants that had their time limited on social media to 30 minutes a day. And then another controlled group that had, you know, limits to everything. They didn't have a time limit or anything like that, so it was kind of a free-for-all. And they were allowed to use Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, as they typically would. Well, from the results of this, the researchers tracked that the participants' social media time automatically, they recorded this through, you know, like screenshots, things of that nature. And the participants completed surveys about their mood, their well-being, what they were seeing, how they're feeling, things like that. After about 3 weeks of this study, the participants who had limited social media use said that they felt less depressed and less lonely than the people who did not have social media limits.
Oh my God, that's wild.
Isn't it? Like,
I think, like, that could open us up to a bigger conversation there, yeah. But It is just wild how, like, this small thing that we have on our phones and our laptops is affecting how we feel.
Constantly.
Like, outside of the internet, you know?
Yeah, like, in our everyday lives, like...
Yeah, and it just goes to show how impactful things that you interact with, you see every day, really can form your opinion about yourself or your opinion about your surroundings.
Totally, totally. So there's a psychologist that, you know, teamed up with the University of Pennsylvania. Her name is Melissa Hunt, and she's one of the people that led the study. And I'm going to take a quote from her. So when they were doing this study, she had explained that using less social media than you normally would led to significant decreases in both depression and loneliness. These effects are particularly pronounced for folks who were more depressed when they came into the study. So there's people going into this that were already feeling kind of crummy.
And then they're like, tell me.
It just got worse.
Oh my goodness.
Depending on what category they were in, it just kind of got worse.
Yeah.
So from this study, the psychologist suggested that the reason for feeling depressed after spending too much time on social networks really boils down to comparison. She said a great line in this study and in this article that comparison is the true thief of joy. And so when people are viewing someone else's curated life online, it's easy to see, you know, these perfect pictures.
Yeah, all the pluses, right?
Their perfect life, their perfect house.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she got perfect hair. Like, you know, things of that nature. And then immediately somebody viewing this could be like, well, damn, their life is so much better than mine.
I'm sad now.
Bummer. Yeah. I'm sad now, yes. Exactly.
So I wonder, like, you know, if you, this is just like a PSA, I guess. If you're feeling crummy, maybe give social media a break.
Yeah, go for a walk.
Shut her down.
Yeah, shut her down.
You know, I know plenty of influencers that, you know, like, I follow and know personally that are like, you know what, it's summer, I'm going to take a month break from social media.
Totally.
I'm going to chill.
And I totally see it. I mean, like, us being people that live in Canada, summertime is like...
short.
Let's go. Like, send it full. So when it comes to summertime and spending time outside, I think more people would probably gravitate towards that opposed to, you know, staying inside all day on your phone, or even if you're outside on your phone all day.
I'm going to follow up with, like, one of my points that I found that were so crazy is the average person looks at their phone more than 300 times a day.
I believe it.
Like, just to, you know, you pick it up, check the time, or whatever you're checking for, a notification, social media, whatever, over 300 times. And the, you know, like, the scrolling of things, like how we scroll on TikTok, we scroll on Facebook, we scroll on Instagram,
like an endless void.
Endless void. But every time we do that, it's like a dopamine hit to our brain. So then our brain gets addicted to scrolling, and that's why you find yourself bouncing from Instagram to Facebook to TikTok to Twitter to LinkedIn, you know, like, I know when all my other ones are exhausted, you'll find me scrolling LinkedIn, and then I'm like, oh, what's wrong with me? And then I'm like, you know, so I think that is crazy in itself. So I think people who are, might be feeling like a little depressed and sad, maybe they have, like, overstimulated their brains somehow.
Interesting theory.
Like, I wonder if, but then it's like a catch-22, right? Like, you're addicted to the stimulation, so you can't take the break from social media because now you're addicted. They, in this study from NeuroGrowth, they correlated it to as bad as a gambling addiction.
Whack. You know what? That makes a lot of sense. Because think about it. I mean, we've been to Vegas.
Yeah.
A couple of times. When you're walking through the casino, or, you know, you want to plug $5 into the machine or something, you hit the button, oh my God, it's lighting up. You've won.
Flashy, you've won a dollar. Nice, yeah.
Good for you. It's pretty like, well, damn, maybe I can win another dollar. And your phone is kind of the same thing. It lights up, it makes sound, and typically it's going to feed you things that are going to keep you on it.
Here's my theory, though, because, like, we've all been scrolling on whether it be Instagram or TikTok, and you go through, like, maybe 4 or 5 videos that don't really resonate with you,
yeah.
and then you hit, like, a life hack, mm-hmm. or you hit something funny.
Yeah, something
it's
that
the
serves.
Same thing as gambling.
Yes.
You know, you scroll, oh, I didn't get anything, boom, hit a gold mine, or something makes you laugh, gives you, like, an injection. So I think that is super scary in itself.
Totally, totally. I'm going to follow up that one.
Oh, no. So here we go.
I came across a TED Talk.
Okay.
And it's basically, it revolves around the subject of side effects that social media has on your brain. So we all know that spending too much time on social media isn't just a bad habit, but it does have consequences. You might not realize it, but it does. And science shows that we're basically carrying around little dopamine stimulators in our pockets.
Okay, same, yeah.
So it's not surprising that we're constantly distracted by our phones. And in this TED Talk, they basically, and like I'll include the link in this in our blog, which is going to be coming up shortly after the podcast launches. But this TED Talk explains that social media makes us bad at multitasking and causes a thing called phantom vibration syndrome.
What is phantom vibration syndrome?
Phantom vibration syndrome. It's a whack thing. Google it or just keep listening. So when you have phantom vibration syndrome, that is a mouthful, hard to say. It's kind of when you feel like your phone is buzzing in your pocket.
I've actually experienced this,
yes.
think.
Or like you might think you hear it.
Hear it?
Hear it.
Yeah.
Know, doing the buzz. But, oh my god, no,
like
it's not
there.
Doing it. So your brain is kind of like, okay, I haven't had this, like, jab of dopamine for a while. I could be missing out on something, so let's get it.
Oh my god, so that's your brain doing it.
Yes.
Oh, that's so wild. But you know what's so funny is, like, my phone 95% of the time is on silent. But I still get those phantoms.
Weird!
Yeah. It's so freaking bizarre. Weird. But I, you know what? I don't doubt it. Your brain does, like, crazy things. I mean, if it can get dopamine from the phone, if it can make you depressed, if it can do all these crazy things, I don't doubt that that is a side effect.
100%. And another fun thing that I learned in this TED Talk is that 5 to 10% of internet users are psychologically addicted and cannot control how much time they spend online.
5%?
5 to 10%.
Oh my god.
So brain scans of social media addicts are similar to those of drug dependent brains.
Okay, yeah, I read that in my study too.
Yes.
I just forgot to say it, that the like addiction of the dopamine hit is like just as bad as drug use.
Wild.
Which we're letting children
yes.
like, we're letting children yes. use these devices at such a young age, even before their brain is like fully formed. So like I wonder
what it's doing.
I can't even fathom.
Oh my god, yeah. And to make things even worse, according to this TED Talk, the reward centers in our brains are most active when we talk about ourselves.
Oh my god!
So, in real life, people typically talk about themselves about 40% of the time.
Right.
Social media is all about showing off your life!
Oh my
right?
god, yeah.
So as a result, people talk about themselves, can you guess how much more?
Oh, 70%.
Ooh, close. 80%
oh my god.
Of the time.
That's so much.
When a person posts a picture and gets positive social feedback, it stimulates the brain to release dopamine, which again rewards that behavior and perpetuates the social media habit.
You know, whoever thought about like this whole social media thing? So smart.
It's like brilliant evil genius.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
because
how can we get into the human brain so they just like can
yeah.
never forget us?
Yeah.
or something,
how can
right?
make you not stop.
Yeah.
And really, like, you bring up a really good point. You know, we give phones, iPads to kids. So I'm really curious to see, you know, when I'm an old rickety lady, what are kids gonna be like my age that I am now? You know, like, are they going to be constantly attached to their phones? Are their thumbs going to be like 10 times bigger than the average human thumb?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Like, what's it going to do, right?
Ugh. And are they going to be like so enthralled with themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're talking about themselves twice as much,
mm-hmm.
is it going to be like a me mentality instead of a we mentality?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be less community and less
like connection.
Connection,
which is crazy, because isn't that the whole point of a social network, is to connect?
Yeah, but then I guess we could, as social media people, this is so crazy, but
yeah.
Like, we could argue, like, is that authentic connection?
Good point.
Like, great social media, great for business, mm-hmm. you know, but when it comes down to, like, if you're doing it to fulfill a need or an addiction,
yeah,
or, you know, like, then I think that's where a tool that is so great and so useful becomes dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think, like, just to spin off of that, you know, when it comes to people just searching for things, like, you could be scrolling just for the sake of scrolling. Oh, I'm waiting to go into my appointment at the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in the waiting room. I'm just going to sit there and scroll until somebody calls my name. Funny enough, in that exact situation, I've had a few times where I've come across something on my phone as, you know, the nurse has come and called my name to come in and see my doctor, mm-hmm. and I'm like, damn it, I need to, like, save this somehow. I need to save this. Or I'm going to just, like, lock my phone with it on this page, so when I pull it up again...
You hope it's there.
It's there, hopefully, fingers mm-hmm. crossed. But, and that's kind of what's on my mind as I'm going into my appointment, which is probably more important than whatever it is I just saw on my phone.
Yeah.
So it's a very, it kind of clouds that.
The judgment.
Yes.
But I think maybe we're talking about, like, clouded judgment. How many times have we seen a video where someone was like, what comes to mind is, like, those people who climb really tall buildings with no harnesses and stuff.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Parkour.
Yeah, but, like, parkour to the extreme. They're
yeah.
on, like, a, you know,
I think,
50
yeah.
floor
yeah.
high rise, and they're jumping from, like, one thing to another,
yeah.
or, like, hanging by one hand.
And I can feel my heart really
yeah.
going up.
Like, that is just, like, one, I think your judgment is a little bit clouded there. Two, you're doing it for social media. You're
yeah.
not just doing that for fun.
Yeah, you're doing it for the gram.
Yeah. Or, like, how many people, like, we've heard people end up falling off a cliff because they were trying to get the most perfect Instagram shot.
Oh my God. Case in point right here. So if you're listening to us gals talking here, so we live in Alberta, Canada. And Alberta has two of the most globally renowned places to see the Rocky Mountains. One of them is called Jasper, the other is called Banff. Numerous times a year, there are articles in our local newspapers about how tourists have been attacked by wild animals because they've gotten too close to them on account of wanting to get videos and pictures for social media. Let that sink in. There are people getting too close to some of the biggest animals on the planet. Like, land animals on the planet. We're talking moose, grizzly bears, which, why you would
right.
want to get close enough to get a selfie with a grizzly bear is
beyond me. Yeah.
They are terrifying creatures. Beautiful, but terrifying. And moose, like, forget about it. Very, very mean, very angry, despite what you might think. But there are people that are, like, literally putting their lives in danger just to share something on Instagram.
Right.
And I think that's bizarre. I don't know.
Yeah, I also, like, I read in this one study that, like, social media is literally shrinking our brains.
Shrinking our
Not,
brains.
Like, making them, like, the size of a peanut.
Yeah.
But, like, shrinking, like, everything from, like, our attention span
yes, okay,
to, like,
yeah.
how we learn things to, like,
yeah.
it's just making everything so much harder for us. Like,
for sure.
I'm obviously a big fan of TikTok, you know, like, I like the short videos, it makes so much sense,
mm-hmm.
but I even notice, like, if I have to watch, like, an hour-long show or a
Ooh.
Movie now,
yeah.
I'm like, is this over yet?
Can we get to the point?
Yeah, like, I'm like, oh my god, but then, like, I'll read a book and I'll enjoy, like, how they, like, develop characters and stuff, so I think it's, like, visually, I'm like, okay, let's go, get the story going here,
yeah,
so, which is crazy, too.
You want to see when, like, stuff goes down. Sort of thing, opposed to like waiting for the build and for everything else and stuff like
but that. Then I think that also reflects like not only in like entertainment, but I'm then maybe does that affect our brains when we're trying to learn a skill or you know go to school? Are we just like not consuming most of that information now because we're just so short
The attention span.
Attention span.
I think, you know, that is a good point. And it comes to mind when, like, when I was a kid going to school, I had, like, a Nokia flip phone.
Oh my god, yes.
This thing did not have the internet on it. It was indestructible.
Remember, like, the small pink ones that looked like an egg? Or, like, they were Nokia, but they looked like an egg. And you can get, like, little cases that, like, snap onto them.
What?
Yeah, they were so cute. But that was probably before your time.
Yeah. Maybe just, like, a little
I'm a little bit older than
like
you.
I'm, like, a Motorola Razr.
Oh, yeah, that was big when I was in school, too. Yeah.
But, you know, like, back then, I could sit there and write a paper easy, but if you ask me to write a paper now, I'm like trying to do a bunch of different things at once.
Yeah.
And I wonder with kids in school and stuff these days, don't even get me started on the ChatGPT, but with kids, you know, having to really invest a lot of their attention span into schooling as they should, how is cell phone use coming into that? Like, I remember being in class and like texting my friend in another class with my really loud keyboard phone.
Yeah.
And my teacher would come up, tell me to give them my phone. I'd have to give it to them, pout for the rest of the class, and then pick it up at the end of the day.
Does that even happen anymore?
Like, okay. Yeah, I have no idea.
People listening to this, if you are a parent, what is the cell phone protocol nowadays? Please comment and let us know what your kid, like, if your kids ever had their phone taken away, do they take away the phones? What do they do nowadays? I'm so curious.
I used to, if like there was once, and I won't get into the story of it, but I had to leave my phone at school overnight because the principal had to give my parents my phone back.
Like, that would never happen.
Happen nowadays. But I just gave them the battery of the phone because I had another battery at home.
Oh,
I mean,
smart.
Not that they knew of. But, yeah, I just gave them the battery. Again, this is at a point in time when you could remove the battery from your cell phone
really easily. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I had to basically go without, a working cell phone for, like, 24 hours. And as a teenager, it was, like, kind of, you know, crappy. It wasn't that great. But I couldn't imagine now, like,
everything's on your phone.
Everything is on my phone. My debit card, I can start my car with my phone. Like, my email.
Yeah.
Like, for my work with Fox and Forth, for my work outside of Fox and Forth. Like, everything is on there.
Yeah.
My schedule, like, calendar, everything.
Yeah.
So
it's a lifeline at
that
point.
You're kind of, like, taking, I hate, like, oh my god, I'm going to regret saying these words after they leave my mouth, but you're taking like a vital part of my everyday routine away from me when you take my phone away. And I would imagine it's probably the same thing with a lot of kids in schools and stuff these days, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brady said, if you're a parent,
we have to know.
With school age kids that have smartphones and stuff like that, how does it work? You know, have they gotten their phones taken away? I'm really curious to know because, like,
yeah,
it's gonna bug me.
Yeah, it's good. No, totally. And I don't really have friends that have kids old enough to be, like, actively using a cell phone in school. So I don't even know who I would ask. So counting on you guys to let us know what happens.
Yeah, hook us up
there
with the tea. All right. So, you know, we talked about the good.
No, we haven't talked about the good.
Ooh.
We should talk about the good
because
we
checked.
Yeah, because we just trashed social media for the last like however long, but there are great things that come out of social media, and I think like most of us know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dopamine hit could be a good and it could be a bad,
yeah,
but other things like friendships,
mm-hmm,
career opportunities. You know how many times that we've been, you know, posted a job online and someone's slid into my LinkedIn and been like, hey, I've noticed that you are hiring for this position. I'm good at XYZ. It would be so great if you give me opportunity. I love that. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, sometimes I don't have time to go through 150 resumes. Mm-hmm. And these people that reach out that are qualified, you know, I've hired more than one person that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, like it's a good signal for you as an employer as well. Like somebody who
go-getter.
Runs a social yep. media company, you're looking at somebody who is, you know, a self-starter.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't mind, you know, picking up their socks and getting the thing done, even if it is so much as just
using the platforms for good.
Yes. Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth. They're on the platform. They understand how it works. And obviously, they're also interested enough in the job to hit up conversation with the owner of the job, right?
Yeah.
So.
Or the owner of the company, right?
Yeah. Because
all it takes is just like a quick search to find out that I'm the CEO of Fox & Forth, right?
So. Easy peasy. And all through the likes of social media.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. Who are you and where are you, right?
Yeah, totally.
But I think like also even just like friendships. Like I've been on social media a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made friendships all over the world. Like the guy who does our IT work. I met him on Instagram. Like,
oh my God.
10, 15 years ago, and now he's like our regular IT guy, and he lives in like Oregon.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just so crazy that you can make these connections, and or like I've met people where I've been on their podcast and they don't even live close to us, and totally. Like these opportunities would never have came my way if I wasn't on social media.
Well, that and like if you didn't have a social media that was attractive to that type of person, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by attractive is like you could be posting about like I'm making homemade pasta today and
right.
I'm really excited about it. And yeah. then somebody, like it could come across anybody's, you hashtagged pasta in your story.
Right.
I'm looking for a pasta recipe. Oh my God, this girl's making homemade pasta.
Right.
It would want me to strike a conversation with you and be like, hey, that's really cool. What are you using for sauce? And then, you know,
it goes from there.
We've established a connection simply through being interested in pasta.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a small, kind of a silly way to put it. But, I mean, lots of people have met other people on social media that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a reason that, like, Bumble works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a joke. But, you know, like, these dating apps, too, are, like, a reflection of that. And I think not only do we, like, connect through, you know, a pasta recipe, but that's how you kind of, like, build your community on social media is, like, staying true to who you are and hoping that whoever follows you resonates with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, vice versa. Like, you follow people that you resonate with.
Totally, totally. And actually, like, funny enough, I'm a big like underground heavy metal music fan, and I've had lots of people add me on Facebook, and you know they'll kind of have that like stereotypical look, long hair, holding a guitar, holding drumsticks in their picture, whatever. I'm like, okay, we probably have something in common, so I'll accept your friend request.
Right. Yeah.
And then I check their profile, and I'm like, oh my God, this person is in a band that I like.
Right.
Interesting. And then we kind of, you know, create a friendship from there. And it's all simply through, you know, the enjoyment of listening to death metal.
Raw.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that happens with a lot of things, right? Like, now on, let's say, like, Instagram and Facebook, you can see what pages and friends you have in common and stuff like that, right? So they are trying to give... I don't know if they're giving the illusion of connection or they're actually, like, trying to increase the connection. And, well, probably because how many times, like, have you synced your contacts with your social media?
I will not.
Me either! Okay! So, I will not just because, like, there's some social media platforms that I want to keep out of personal. I want to keep out of business, you know? I want to just be a little bit rawer than I would be if I was doing it for business, right?
Of course. There's two sides to every coin. There's two sides to every
And I think I should be allowed that.
Yes, of course. However,
when it comes to them, like, consistently trying to force connecting your contacts with your it's a little much, I think.
I think it's a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, suffocating.
Yeah.
In a way, like, okay, I have Jody and Blair on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I don't really think I want to follow them on LinkedIn, too.
Or TikTok. Or wherever.
Or whatever. Because,
like, TikTok's that one for me.
Yeah.
Because I, like, although I've developed a large following, a lot of that large following is now people I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I like to keep it like that. Like, mm-hmm. This is my outside community. This is, people are here for other than marketing advice,
well,
you know?
And you can, like, you're allowed to be a normal human being there. You don't have to wear the corporate,
garb, right?
And that's okay. I think that's allowed. And I really think that, like, people should have the freedom to do that. Because at the end of the day, like, you can be whoever the hell you want to be on social media, so why not?
Yeah, but I think, like, with this Facebook and Instagram, they really want you to be, like, you, but, like, attach yourself to everyone you know.
Yeah, like, interconnected in that way. I could see that, but I don't know. I feel very... I'm always hesitant.
I get the mental move behind that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, community builds loyalty.
Definitely.
So the more personal people you are connected to on this one platform, like, of course, you're going to feel loyalty to maintain your presence on that platform.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Anyways, what else you got for good? I feel like we've just segued right back into weird.
I mean, we meander. It's okay. We meander. But I think if we're going to talk about good things, I think we should really talk about, you know, the healthier habits when it comes to, like, doing your social media surfing and stuff like that.
Lay it on me.
I really, really believe this. The science is clear.
Okay.
The science is clear. The science is giving.
This is when she tells me something I don't like.
Too much social media alters our brain chemistry. I think we've established that.
We've talked about it.
But there's lots of good sides to it. You know, we use these networks to stay in touch with friends, family, connect with people across the globe, find life hacks, etc. But I really think it all needs to be done in moderation. As for what can be done to kind of mitigate the negative effects of social media, and as I kind of learned in this University of Pennsylvania study, they strongly suggest that limiting the amount of time spent on social media is what is going to reduce the harmful psychological effects that it has on our brains.
Really?
So, you know, if you're somebody who's feeling depressed and stuff like that, maybe just put the phone down for a day. You know, put it on silent. If you need to talk to anybody, just be like, hey, I'm not available today. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like, set yourself up for success. Put the phone down for a bit and just let it sit.
Yeah.
And then see how you feel the next day.
I'm also, like, really curious to, like, even try that, because I wonder if I would get, like, the twitches or something. Like, you know, like, oh my God, I don't have my phone. Yeah. I, like... Because it's been a very long time since I've just shut it down.
Totally, totally. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I love my camping trips, like, right, up in the deep, deep mountains. Because there is no cell service for, like, hours.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Also, like, does that give you anxiety?
I mean, kind of. When I'm hiking a trail and there's people passing me and they're like, by the way, there's a bear up on the peak.
And you're like, I don't know how to call for help.
Damn, good thing I got bear spray.
You're, like, smoking SOS in
the
air.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Luckily, like, it's, I don't know. I've been a very lucky person that in situations like that where there is wildlife on the trails and stuff, there's usually enough people around
to
that
scare
if, like, stuff was to hit the fan,
Someone hopefully would help you.
Somebody would be around, or like there'd be a means to find help. But I digress. The opportunity to like have my phone with me but not really use it is kind of nice. And I don't know, maybe I'm a minority in thinking that way, but it's really nice to just like
shut her down
and like, and it's kind of like involuntary too, right? Just, well, to some, like, I know that I'm going into the mountains, I know there's no service there, but like it's nice.
Yeah, and I think like social media on a positive has taught me so much. Like it's taught me how to like combat haters. It's taught me what other cultures do. It's taught me life hacks, like we talked about, makeup hacks, you know, whatever. It's taught me about travel. Like there's so many things you can learn from social media, and I think that is like, that is why we love it. But also, you know, with anything that is that great, using it in moderation.
For sure, for sure. A little salt, a little sugar.
Yeah.
A little salt, a little sugar. It's nice. I also am a firm believer in living in the moment.
Yes.
I love taking pictures of my food.
Oh, me too, like, man.
When we're out and about somewhere and we're at a restaurant and they put this like beautifully presented dish in front of me, like I need to take a picture of it. Yeah. And before, I used to be one of those people that would take a picture of it and then like post it right away. And, you know, I'm still kind of guilty of that. But like the minute I put it on Instagram, I like put my phone down. Like I put it in my purse, which is usually sitting right beside me, or it's on the floor.
Yeah.
And then I don't touch it until we leave. Because I know, and I've recognized this in myself, if I'm not sitting there and engaging with the person that's like sitting across from me, whether that's my fiance, whether that's, you know, a friend, my family members, whatever, I feel like I'm like half there.
Yeah.
You know, because my
friends, which you are, right? Like how many times do we go with our friends out and you like sit around and you're all on your phones or something, right? Like you're so right. Being in the moment is so important. Like when I went to Italy, I was like, took a million pictures, of course.
Of course.
But then I would like
post when in Rome.
But then I would post them after every destination because it was like, I want time to curate this, but if I take time to curate this, I'm just missing out on the moment. So if I was on a train or something, that's when I would compile all like my social media posts and stuff like that. Because you only live once, man.
Totally.
And I read a study long time ago that when you, say you're like at a concert or something and you are taking pictures with your phone, you're less likely to remember those memories when you're taking pictures of them.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to find that for the podcast just put it in the notes. But it was pretty crazy because I was like, oh my God, how many things I don't remember now that, because we take our phones everywhere.
Totally.
We photograph everything. So how many great things have I experienced where I was just taking pictures and, like, now it's gone from my memory?
Yeah, it's just wiped, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I had mentioned, we're carrying little, like, dopamine stimulators in our pockets.
Right.
Or if we want to get real sci-fi, we're carrying a second brain in our pockets,
too. Oh, God. Don't take me down that rabbit hole.
What are some of your suggestions for safe consumption of social media?
You know what I've started doing? Because I am that person that can watch TikToks until, like, all hours of the night.
Yeah.
When I go to bed now, I, like, leave my phone and I'll read a book.
So you just, like, set it down
And like,
just read the book instead?
Set it down, read the book instead. And occasionally, I know that I get a twinge to, like, check the phone, but I don't. But my sleeps have been so much better.
Really?
And I think that's just, like, the elimination of, like, the blue light until, like, you know, all hours of the night. Because now I go to bed at, like, a normal time. Was it you telling me that the blue light from your phone ages your face?
Yes, it does. It worsens the fine lines on our faces.
Yeah.
So even
and, like,
if you
I don't need any more of that.
Oh, bro, let me tell you. Oh, she's looking a little wrinkly in here. But, yeah, like, it's very very strange.
Yeah.
Because we protect our skin from UV light, from the sun,
yeah,
stuff like that, but there's not really anything out there to, like, save you from,
yeah,
the and light that's literally glaring in your face every time you open your phone.
Totally.
I mean, but you can, like, turn it down. Like, there's, like, blue light filters, but, like, how effective are they? I want the science.
Give us the science.
Give me the science. Serve it to me.
Yeah, in a 3-minute TikTok.
Yes,
that's
please.
All I need. No, but, and then, so I do this thing in the summer because, like you said, we live in Alberta. Our summers are maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm. If we're lucky.
Yeah, during the week, I try not to, like, watch TV for more than, like, an hour.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it's whether it's, like, walking my dog or in the garden or outside or doing whatever, cleaning the house, like, whatever I'm doing, I don't really have time to, like, just sit down, and I give myself maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm off to do the next thing.
Totally, totally. And especially, like, it's just, like, you can just enjoy life more.
Well, for us, I feel like it's a little bit elevated. We manage so many social media accounts that, like, it's our everyday job, so when I get home, like, I don't check my own social media, like, at all during the day, because I'm on everyone else's social media.
Totally.
And then I get home and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I should check, you know, whatever, TikTok, Instagram, messages. But then I'm like, okay, well, I'll sit down, and then it's time to cook dinner, and then my night just, like, goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, maybe setting a goal for yourself, like, you know, 15 minutes or in 15-minute blocks that you can do, like, just time blocking it.
I think, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think somewhere in either the, like function of the phone, there is, like, a social media timer. So
it's like a cap or something.
Yeah, something to that extent. It's like, you can give yourself an hour of browsing on social media a day, but then when you reach that hour, you, like, can't access the app.
So mine is like on TikTok I have like a hour and a half thing, and then it pops up and I have to, like, enter a code in order to, like, continue scrolling. But then when that pops up, I'm like, what the heck have I done?
Excuse
How long's it been? What is happening? Oh my god. I'm, like, embarrassed that I've spent that much time on TikTok.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah. So I'm like, then I'm like, oh god, I, like, really should do something.
Excuse me.
But yeah, I think time blocking is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Just setting those goals of, like, media consumption. And just knowing that there's, like, other stuff that you could be not scrolling on your phone at night. You could be reading a book. And, like, it could be a book that you mystery, crime, or whatever it is.
Something you're into, right?
Yeah, something you're into. It doesn't have to be something that, like, you know, is business-oriented or something.
Of course, of course. I mean, yeah, anything to, like, divert the attention away from the phone. But, I mean, it, like, I think, obviously, we know that social media isn't going anywhere. Enter Threads. So, I really do think that, you know, if you are suffering from things like loneliness or, you know,
depression, envy,
anytime you're
jealousy.
Totally.
Bitterness. Oh my god. Okay, here's one. I was watching a TikTok. No, but it was like, psychology, if you find yourself, like, feeling bitter towards someone, it's probably because they have, like, what you want or something that you admire that you're struggling to get, right?
Really?
So I've noticed, like, because, you know, we all have something that we want that someone else has, of course.
Human beings, right?
So if I, you know, follow someone, then I'm like, ugh, can't believe that. She drives a Range Rover or something, you know, right? And I'm like, okay. That's when I know I need to put it down and focus on what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I often find that if I'm scrolling on my own social medias and I come across somebody and I'm like, the hell are you doing with your life? And I'm like, you know, I enter that very judgmental state of mind. Right then I'm like, okay,
I'm unhealthy. I gotta go.
I'm gonna put my phone in the bedroom and I'm gonna go dig in my flower bed.
Cue some Facebook groups. Like,
oh yes.
Oh my, those community. That's for another podcast, I'm sure. But like,
that's gonna be a mud fest of us just.
What are you doing? Yeah, we should do a podcast one time where we just like read threads through.
From Facebook groups?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be so fun. Ooh, that'll be like a Christmas one.
Yeah, or like not safe for work.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Anyways. Do you have any final thoughts about what social media does to your brain? Any last tidbits of advice for people?
Yeah, you know what? I think in moderation, what is good for us can also be bad for us when we have too much of it. So if there's anything that we learned, lay off when you're noticing those negative thoughts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, keep using it. It's great for community. It's great for exposure. It's great to grow your business. But if you're finding yourself, like, unable to put it down, that's when, like, I'd hate for you to be like, I have a social media addiction and it's as worse as doing drugs and gambling. Like, that is pretty wild. So
it is, and it really is no laughing matter, so pardon me for having a little giggle there, but yeah. You know, if you learned something new from this podcast, or if you have anything you'd like to add, make sure you hit us in the comments below. Thanks again for joining us on another episode of the Brand Burrow. Brittany and I are more than happy to sit here and talk shop about what the ins and outs of social media are, in this case what they're doing to your brain. And you know, if you have any comments, questions, anything you want to add, you know where to do it, right? In that comments section.
We should also tell the people that our next podcast, we will have on some guests.
Yes, we are talking about trading up. And by trading up, we mean the trades in Alberta.
And
so
social media.
If you are somebody who owns or is maybe aspiring to own a trades-based business in Alberta, that is going to be something you're going to want to check out, because we're talking about all the ins and outs of social media in your industry. You don't want to miss it.
Yes, so excited for that. We have some great people coming on. But with that said, we are out.
Bye-bye.
Lena.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Brand Burrow Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Also, you can learn more about Box & Forth by visiting our website, www.boxandforth.com. That's FOXANDFORTH.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.